I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids, we all have families we want to take care of, and I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic, it's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Hey guys, I don't know if you know this, but I love biohacking. I love testing out new foods, new supplements to feel my best, look my best, perform my best. That's why I'm so excited that we partnered up with Neurohacker. They're sponsoring today's podcast. So this is something new, Senolytics. These are cutting edge ingredients that are making waves in the world of healthy aging. If you're looking to optimize your energy, feel your best no matter what your age, you definitely have to start researching this. This is why I'm super excited to be talking about Qualia Senolytics. See, as we get older, these things called senescent cells build up. They're basically old, worn out cells that hang around and mess things up. They cause aches, slow recovery, a general blah feeling. Think of them as zombie cells. Qualia Senolytic gives your body a kickstart to clear those out. Think of it like a deep cleaning for your body on the cellular level, making way for your good cells to thrive. Honestly, before I tried this, I was a bit skeptical, but guys, the difference blew me away. Within a few months, energy levels are through the roof. I felt sharper. My workouts felt better. This middle-aged sluggishness, it's gone. And you can take Qualia, this middle-aged sluggishness, mostly gone. So if you're ready to fight those aging effects at the source, head over to neurohacker.com/successpod. That's neurohacker.com/successpod for up to $100 off and use the code SUCCESSPOD for an extra 15% off your order. And just a quick disclaimer, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food or Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. And this review represents my personal experience and opinions and is not a guarantee, promise, or reflection of anyone else's results. I was given free product in exchange for this endorsement. Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. And today, you are going to hear me on the Podcaster podcast. The Podcaster podcast, put on by the Chance Collective, is an interesting podcast where it asks hosts a variety of random questions about their inspiration for starting their own podcast. So it speaks to podcast hosts. It's a little bit of a weird feeling because when you're doing the podcast, you're just talking to basically a robot that asks you questions about where your inspiration and creativity comes from. So this is a podcast that is definitely focused on my story, but I really hope that you can pick up on some insights that I have in terms of motivation and creativity and what drives me. And I think that if you get anything out of it, it'll be a little bit of my backstory, but also how somebody who is a creative and who tries to build stuff, how they think or how they try and think about building something or their next thing and some of the things that drive me to do what I do. So I hope you enjoy. If you want to see more of these or hear more of these, go check out the Podcaster podcast. But this is me being invited as a guest on the Podcaster podcast. I want people to really understand the stories of people that we look to as successful in their own field, in their own right, in their own industry, and learn from them.
Hello, listener. My name is V, the voice of Pod, and I am the host of Podcaster. Podcaster is a show where I ask podcast creators a number of random questions. Then they give spontaneous, open and honest answers about life and the podcast they have created. Hello, podcaster.
Hello, V.
Please introduce yourself and your podcast to our listeners.
My name is Scott D. Clary. I am the host of the Success Story podcast.
Thank you for joining us, Scott. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Hopefully you're doing okay as well.
Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be. Let's go.
Great, let's begin. Where did the idea behind your podcast come from?
So, the idea behind my podcast, Success Story, didn't originally start off as Success Story. The podcast started off under the name and the brand Sales versus Marketing. And I originally created it to build out a podcast that was in line with the work that I do. So I'm a career-long sales and marketing executive, and I wanted to create a podcast and a show that interviewed sales and marketing leaders and really taught entrepreneurs strategy about building businesses. I realized very quickly that there's a lot of sales and marketing podcasts out there, and I felt like I was being redundant in what I had created, and I wanted to widen it a little bit while still providing value. So the thought process was, okay, so Scott, how do you like to learn, and how do you like to, or what type of shows do you like to listen to? And I loved Tim Ferriss, and I loved the types of guests he brought on, but I also realized that there was a lack of tactical business focus for entrepreneurs listening to that podcast. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring in highly successful individuals in both traditional business roles, CXO, entrepreneur, but also in perhaps non-traditional roles, just people that have had incredible lives, and interview them, unpack their story, highlight their wins, their losses, their successes and their failures, and really just show, I guess, and unpack the playbook that they've built over their career, so that people that are earlier on in their career, I call them entrepreneurs, people that are highly ambitious within organizations or entrepreneurs, could learn from these people. And I, you know, the main goal is that people get a little bit smarter, grow a little bit personally and professionally every time they listen to an episode.
What do you hope people will learn from listening to your podcast?
I want people to really understand the stories of people that we look to as successful in their own field, in their own right, in their own industry, and learn from them. But I want them to not just look at the end result. I want them to, when they listen to an interview, understand that these people all started from relatively humble beginnings, all had good and bad things happen to them along their journey and their career. And then I also want people to learn from those ups and downs and positives. And then I want them to see the final result or final iteration of that person, where they're at right now today, and then pick up some additional knowledge, because after these individuals' incredible careers, they have an expertise in a certain thing or a certain field that they can teach to the guests and the listeners. So that's what I really hope people take away. I hope that they really take away the story and the background of the incredible people I interview, and then hopefully get a little bit smarter and a little bit brighter listening to the unique niche industry experience or life experience that these people can teach over when I interview them.
What is your worst personality trait?
My worst personality trait is, it's interesting because I don't just do the podcast. I have a story here. So I also work. I still work a 9-to-5, and the podcast is a highly successful side hustle. And this will eventually dovetail into my worst personality trait. But I am a perfectionist, and I try and create everything so that it's the best possible version of that thing. And that's difficult enough when you are just doing one thing, let alone trying to do a side hustle or working on a project outside of the 9 to 5. So my worst personality trait is over-engineering and over-perfecting the things that I put out. And the reason why it's a bad personality trait is because if you want any chance of succeeding at anything in your career or in your side hustle or anything you're building, there you will never be 100% perfect when it ships, when you put it out into the world. It will never be 100% perfect. And if you've waited until it's 100% perfect, then it's too late. So you can look at that in terms of building a brand for a podcast, but I have to work on, even after shipping an episode and after making the edits, and because I've learned how to do all this myself when I first started podcasting and doing the video editing and the audio mastering, if there's a small error or if there's something that doesn't sound quite right after it's rendered and after it's been edited and I spent, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours working on it, you can't always go back and fix it. You have to ship it. And I think that that mindset of doing your best possible work and shipping without needing to perfect everything you do in life will take you a lot farther. And this is not saying that you do shitty work and do bad work, but it is saying that there is some merit in having some sort of velocity in your career, taking the jump to the next, you know, the next role, the next company, or shipping the next project without spending too much time thinking whether or not you're worth it or you're good enough or the product's good enough. So I think that that's something that professionally has been something that I've had to combat and constantly try and overcome.
Are you superstitious?
No, I'm not really at all. I am spiritual. I believe in God by whatever definition that is, in terms of a higher power or a higher being. But I'm not superstitious. I feel like I wasn't, you know, I was never really brought up in a family that was superstitious. It was a very it was a North American family, and a very traditional, like, you know, very traditional North American upbringing, and I never really had any exposure to that growing up, any sort of superstition or anything like that that you do find in some cultures that you know, that have much more, I guess, not religious and older ties to superstition and spirituality and whatnot. So I never really had that growing up. It wasn't really a thing that was discussed, superstition or anything like that, growing up. And I think that's why I sort of ended up the way I am, which is really not superstitious at all.
Comedy or horror?
I would have to say comedy. I don't mind horror. I would default to I enjoy more comedies than horror. And the reason why is because I like good horror, but I don't like jump scene horror where the only reason why you're scared is because they did this big, loud bang, whatever sound, and that, like, you know, blew your speakers in your home theater, and that's what made you jump. I like thriller that makes you think, like psychological stuff that gives you chills, but I find that most horror, unfortunately, just defaults to these, like, gotcha scenes or whatever they're called. So because of that, I'm going to default to, I think I've enjoyed more comedy than horror movies.
What has been one of the most interesting things you've learned making your podcast?
One of the most interesting things, there's a question that I ask in my podcast, of course, because of the title of the podcast, I ask people what success means to them. And now it seemed to just be very common because I hear the same answer again and again and again and again. And these are people that are they have achieved significant success. So we're talking about people that are worth significant amount of money or have achieved incredible amounts of fame or have multiple exits. They've sold multiple companies, like people that have, you know, by any definition, somebody would look at that person and be like, that individual is highly successful. But the number one answer, regardless of how much money they've made or wherever they're at in their career, has always been freedom. Freedom to do whatever they want to do. And I think that that's one of the most interesting, I guess, you know, awareness, like just, you know, me just being aware of what really matters to people once they've achieved success and achieved financial success or whatever their definition of success may be that you may assume people sort of tie to what success is. I think that realizing that regardless of where people are at in their life, the ability to do what you want to do and not feel like you're being forced to do something that you don't want to do is, it seems to be the sort of the key to success. But I would even say that's what really makes people happy and really makes people feel like they've lived a fulfilled life if they have the freedom to wake up in the morning and to do what they want to do. And that's something that I think is sort of guided my career, my path, and what I take on and what I focus on. But also it's just a very interesting commentary on the human existence and what really matters to people. So that's very interesting to me.
Is it better to go with your head or your heart?
For me, so let's break this down. So I think that most people will say go with your head, but they really do go with their heart. And I say this because my background is in sales, and there's a saying in sales, people make a decision with emotion and justify with logic. So even if you feel that you're making a decision logically, there's a very good chance if you are like most people, you are going to make an emotional decision first, regardless of whether or not you like it. That being said, I think that you have to be cognizant of how good your gut instinct is or how good your read on people or situations are. And if you feel like when you lead with your heart and you lead with your emotions, you don't get burned, you make the right decisions and the outcome is a net positive, then I would say that you can continue along that path. I think it's important to be aware of the end result of that emotional decision making, because if it has led you down the wrong road or it's made you it burned you a couple times, led you into bad relationships, personal relationships or business relationships, then maybe it's better to default to taking a logical stance on things. And I guess personally for me, I've actually seesawed back and forth. So when I was very young, I would usually lead with emotion with my heart, which in business and personal, which led to bad outcomes. I, for many years, was very pragmatic and logical in my approach to decision making. And then by adopting that pragmatic and logical approach, as I matured, I found that I could trust my gut instinct more, because I would now just default to better decisions. So Just be cognizant and aware of where your heart leads you. And if it doesn't lead you to a good place, then I would second guess, double check, do due diligence, and maybe have a personal sounding board for everything that you make a decision on.
What's your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich. My favorite sandwich. I would say, oh, this is such a, oh, the girlfriend's not going to be happy with this answer, but I love Subway, which is such a not bougie, basic sandwich, but I love some of the Subway sandwiches. I love the pizza sub. I love steak and cheese. All that stuff is just, I don't know, I just find it such a guilty pleasure, and it's just delicious, and you can literally make it any way you want. So I always, whenever I want to just not worry about what to eat, that's sort of my go-to fast food.
Who inspires you?
My girlfriend, and soon to be wife, God willing, just because the pandemic sort of pushed that off. She inspires me because she has built incredible things in her life. She has a company with her family, and she inspires me just because they've been so successful at what they've built, all of them, but also the fact that she builds an incredible business while maintaining such an incredible relationship with her family that she works with day in, day out. I think that's a beautiful thing, and it sort of combines, most people, unfortunately, they are either successful in business or with their family life, but you don't see people all the time that really excel at both well. And she does, and that really inspires me, and that's what's attractive about her to me, and that's something that I want to, when we were married, we have kids, that's what I would hope that, sort of permeates our family.
Do it today or leave it till tomorrow.
Well, this is an easy question. It's always a this is a I'm sure you can look at some of my past tweets, and I comment on this. So always do it today. There's actually a woman, Mel Robbins, and she goes one step further than just doing it today. She actually has a rule called the 5 second rule. And what that is if you think of something that you want to do and you don't act on it within 5 seconds, for example, if you want to go on a run, if you want to start a project, if you want to call a customer, whatever, if you and you feel like you know you have to do it because it's good for you, but you're gonna lack the motivation in 30 minutes, an hour, you're gonna get distracted, you're pushing it to the back of your it's not a priority for you. She says to do it in 5 seconds. Start taking a task, start taking on a task, start doing an action that will allow you to do the thing. So if you want to go for a run, go to the front door, put on your running shoes. If you want to start a project, open up a Word doc and start mapping it out in literally the next 5 seconds. As soon as you have time, you take that action right away. So I would say always do it today.
Who would your dream guest be on your podcast?
Well, the bar is always moving, because I have had some of my dream guests on my podcast as it's grown. However, now I would like to, because it is a business focused podcast, I would like to have the Elon Musks, the Richard Bransons, the people that are global business leaders, and quite literally, they're building out companies and technologies in a variety of industries that are changing the way we live. And there's not many people that have the same impact on the world as a Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, all these individuals, like the known names that have built these incredible conglomerate of companies at this point for many of them. Those are the people that I want to bring on and unpack their story, because I think that they will, and some of these stories are very public, but still the opportunity to feature that in my ecosystem and bring that to my audience would be incredible.
What song makes you happy?
What song makes me happy? I have a very diverse music taste, and the song that I'm going to reference, it's actually not a song, it's an album. It's Bed Eyes meets Blue Sky, and it's a mashup of Frank Sinatra, who I love listening to Frank Sinatra, and Notorious B.I.G., so Biggie. Bed Eyes. I'm going to double check because... Oh, so best. I got it messed up. It's Bed-Stuy meets Blue Eyes. Excuse me. I apologize. But I love it. I have it on my YouTube playlist and I listen to it. And it's an amazing mashup of two of my favorite artists from two completely different realms that who I can't remember the DJ who put it together is, but it's a really good album.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
I believe in infatuation and lust at first sight, but I do not believe in love at first sight because, in my opinion, love is your ability to commit to somebody when the initial excitement is gone, and your ability to commit to somebody through life. And life is a mother, like life is tough. And if you can stay with somebody and have somebody by your side, and you stay with them through all your, if they stay with you through all your screw ups, and you stay with them through all of their screw ups, that, in my opinion, is the true definition of love.
Who would you want to be stranded on a desert island with?
So I would say, normally I assume people would pick some sort of celebrity, but you know what? I'm gonna switch it up. I'm gonna flip the script on this one. I would say my girlfriend, Gina Tash. I would love, you know why I say that? Because we spent 2 years isolated together in a pandemic, which was about as close to a real life desert island as you can get in terms of not seeing anybody and not communicating that much with the outside world. And I had a great day every single day. So she's somebody that I, at least for me, I don't get sick of. I don't think too many people get sick of her. But for me, you know, working from home and spending that much time with her, it was a lot of fun. So I would say her.
Do you enjoy being the center of attention?
Yes. So funny enough, this is an interesting question because I'm an introvert by nature, but I've learned to put myself out there. Obviously, you're speaking to podcasters. You know, I'm building a brand around myself, and I like being the center of attention when I have the energy to be the center of attention. And I don't mind building a brand and a community and have eyeballs looking at me, because at the end of the day, in my opinion, that is where I can have the most impact on the world, if I have that audience. That being said, that's not my constant state. There's definitely times when I'm much happier with with nobody around and just spending time on my own. For example, like if I spend a weekend inside, you know, hanging out, like that's perfectly fine for me. So being the center of the being the center of attention, when life calls for it, I do enjoy, but it's not 100% of the time. What could we all do without? This is a good question. Like the obvious personality traits would be, we could all do without judgment and maliciousness, but how do we actually facilitate that? And how do we actually remove something that encourages that? So what I think we could all do without, the easy answer that has sort of shown such negativity over the past 2 years would be social media, but I do not believe that social media is inherently bad. I think the concept of social media is great, and it can do great things. It can connect you to people globally. It can, again, build brands, build audiences, give you an extremely low barrier to entry to build a business, to start, you know, putting yourself out into the world. So social media is wonderful. But what I think we could do without is certain social media algorithm components that... and these are real things, that when you have a certain polarizing opinion about a certain topic, what social media channels and mediums tend to do is they tend to only show you similar and like-minded people that also agree with that particular topic. And I think that that is a horribly poisonous and negative component of social media. So I think that social media would be a lot better if it focused less on just showing you what you thought you wanted to see, and instead truly connected people of diverse viewpoints and opinions. Because this, I think we've seen over the past 2 years, has created divides between countries, friends, families, peers, sort of further propagated by the fact that we were not able to see each other in person, that I don't think we've never really been as divided as we are right now. So I think that that component of the social media algorithm, the world would be a better place without it.
Fruit or veg?
So right now I'm trying to do keto. So I'm getting shit every day for not eating enough fruits or vegetables, because I just love I love eating like steak and eggs and cheese and whatnot. But right now it's defaulting to multivitamin. But normally if I'm just eating like a regular diet, and don't get me wrong, you can eat a whole bunch of vegetables on keto. I'm just lazy and I haven't cooked in a little bit, so that's something that I gotta pick up. But normally I like fruits more than vegetables, like strawberries, blueberries, bananas. All-time favorite fruit would be grapes in the summer, watermelon. So yeah, I would say fruits over vegetable.
What are you too hard on yourself for?
Where I'm at in life, I have an incredible job. I have a podcast that's growing every single day. Like I said, it's turned into a side hustle. That's turned into much more of a serious side hustle. It's doing quite well. It's getting a huge audience. I'm building an incredible following. By all measure, I'm doing well. I'm doing successful. I'm very blessed for what I have in my life and also what I've achieved in my life. But I always measure myself against people that have done more. So, you know, I listen to podcasts of people that have exited companies, and by the time they're 30, they're worth X million dollars. And in my mind, if they can do it, why can't I? And that's a silly mindset to have when you have an incredible job and family and life, to say that, you know, I'm not where I want to be, even though you have things that many people would do anything for. But at the same time, that mindset is what pushes me to always do more. And I think that that mindset, as crazy as it sounds to many people, I'm assuming, to people that are serial entrepreneurs, to people that have done incredible things in their life, it's a mindset that they'll find similarities with, and they'll see in themselves. I've seen this from interviewing these people as well. So I think that sometimes I'm a little bit too hard on myself. Everybody else in my family says that I'm too hard on myself and pushing myself too hard and I work too much. But in my opinion, you have one life to get it right. And I want to push myself as hard as I can now, so when I have kids and when I have a family, I have the freedom to give them whatever they want. And that's.
What three episodes of your podcast would you recommend to new subscribers?
So the first one that I would recommend, it was one that I did early on. I was punching a little bit above my weight class when I landed this guy as a guest, but I'm happy that I got him. So Guy Kawasaki, I can't remember which number, but it was early on. The reason why you should listen to it is for two reasons. Number one, you can see, if you watch that podcast and you can watch a podcast now, I would hope you can see some difference in my ability to host guests and to ask good questions and to bring out good information. And you can see my growth as a podcaster, while reason number two, simultaneously hearing a story from an incredible individual, one of the first employees at Apple, just an all-around smart, incredible man who's done so much with his career, Guy Kawasaki. And another one that I really liked was Anthony Scaramucci. He's an investment and finance guy. He's probably most famously known for being the director of communications for Trump for, I think it was like 12 days before Trump fired him. And I like that podcast because he's not a traditional entrepreneur. It's not like he built a software company and exited it or IPO'd, but he's a very smart guy. And he had one line, he had a couple entrepreneurial lessons that I really, really thought were great, like knowledge nuggets and little tidbits that anybody who's earlier on in their career could really listen to and learn from. But the one thing that he said that really resonated with me, that had a powerful impact with me, and I look like, you know, he said, success is confidence in yourself to the point that where you know that if, say, you had $100 million in the bank and you lost it all, you lost everything, you lost all your connections, your network, you lost your home, your family, all your money. And he said, success is knowing that if I lost everything that I have and I went back to a one-bedroom condo apartment in, you know, in Brooklyn with like jeans and a white t-shirt and a negative bank balance and no connections, I'm confident enough in my abilities that I could do it all again. And to be able to get to that level of confidence and comfort in your own abilities, I think that's an amazing thing. And I think that's what everybody should try and do. And the last one was another incredible entrepreneur, Vanessa Van Edwards. She's just a classic example of somebody that was an introvert by nature. She needed to learn how to communicate better and how to put herself out there. So she learned, and then she took that a step further and she thought, well, if I'm learning this skill that has been positive, has had a positive impact on my life, I'm sure other people would like to learn this skill as well. And she monetized her knowledge. She, with a webcam in her kitchen or her living room or something, just filmed herself teaching. She teaches like the art of communication, of successful communication. Like, that's it. Like, how to successfully communicate with other individuals, how to have more self-confidence, et cetera, et cetera. And she recorded this course. And I'm not saying everybody has to have a course, but she just put it out onto Udemy, and that's what basically launched her entire career. It was creating an asset, monetizing her knowledge, and putting herself out there. And that's one way that you can start a side hustle or to start to build a brand or to start to build a business. And she's like the perfect example of somebody that just took exactly what they knew and turned it into a business model. Now she is, now at this point, she has a huge following. She teaches courses on communication globally. She does keynotes globally. She's made an incredible life from just putting herself out there. And I think that's a very positive takeaway and just a good person to look to for. If she did this with very few tools, very little resources, anybody else can do it as well.
What defines success?
And the question that I like to ask everybody, what defines success? What defines success? Well, I said freedom, and freedom, you know, that's what most of my guests have told me is what defines success for them. For myself, I think freedom is a component of success, but also always part of what, in my opinion, success is achieving that freedom, but always having a purpose for living. So I think that it's important to achieve freedom in your life, but I think that it's also important to have a purpose or a goal for living and not just make a lot of money and never work again. And work has so many different definitions and meanings, but I see a lot of people, the second they stop having purpose in their life, that's when they die. That's when, you know, people retire. They just lose purpose and they lose meaning. And I think that that's what humans need to survive. So have freedom, achieve freedom, but always have purpose. And that purpose can manifest in a variety of ways. But I think that you always have to have some sort of purpose and some sort of milestone for you to achieve and for you to try and push towards at every single point in your life, in your personal and professional life. Because I think that when you lose all meaning and you just have freedom, that's the start of a very slow death, in my opinion.
That's all the questions completed. How did you find the experience?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I loved the questions. I loved the you forcing me to think and to sort of go a little deep. It was an incredible podcast, incredible format.
Thank you again, Scott, for being a guest on Podcaster. It was nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you too, V.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcaster. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate and review. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PodcasterPod. This podcast was brought to you by the Chancer Collective. Take care, and until next time, goodbye.
I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it, each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but Delete Me creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell Delete Me what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And Delete Me doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family-owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay, and what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professionals to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.